This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Getting up, getting out, or only just getting home? It's Joy Weekend Breakfast.
We've got our very next guest on the line. Good morning to James Parr. Welcome, James.
Morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for joining us on Joy Weekend Brekkie today.
Thanks for having me.
It's a miserable Melbourne morning, but it's pretty hot and sunny around the rest of the country today.
I love this weather. Sorry. I really like this weather.
Speaking of hot and sunny, congratulations on being awarded GQ's Man of the Year's Award, Model of the Year.
Thank you.
Seriously, and I don't want to objectify you, James, but you look hot at the awards ceremony. Who were you wearing on the night?
So I was styled by Vogue, so I was wearing the suit, the pants and the blazer were Armani, and then the tank underneath was, Dale May, and then I had just some Bulgari jewelry to sort of top off.
Oh my gosh. I know, right? Did you have to hand that back, James?
Yes, I did. It was rude. I want that.
And you've also, I was looking at some of your Instagram stuff. You managed to do some Gaultier earlier this year.
Yeah. Worked with Gaultier a little bit just on the side, as not modeling for them, but just like some social stuff. So they have like their little Christmas party December 1st. They do like a Christmas party. And when you go to things like that, especially Jean-Paul, like you don't know what you're going into. And that was like one of the best nights I've had in my life. They had like performances throughout. It was like very queer and just like very fun.
Oh, wow. These brands know how to do it. Now, if anyone who doesn't know you, James, but let me just give you a quick rundown. You are you're a multi-talented individual, well-known for being a model, but also a great disability advocate. Just give people a quick snapshot of your story.
Yeah, so when I was 21, I was diagnosed with a rare bone cancer, osteosarcoma, in my right ankle. And it was misdiagnosed for 10 months. So they finally figured it out. And then, I think like the week after, I started 3 months of chemo. And then it was at the very initial stage, it was just like a centimeter. So they were just going to have to do a bone graft. They just wanted to like start the chemo straight away.
Ouch.
And then when they revisited the surgery plan after 3 months, it actually ended up growing around the whole ankle joint. So that resulted in the amputation. And so I had the amputation and then I finished off like 6 more months of chemo and I was done.
Yikes. And I've seen some of the articles that you've gone through, and you said it sort of kickstarted you to really find a purpose in your life. And, you've come out of that really bad experience with a really successful career now. So, it's all down to, I guess, your mental state about getting yourself back into the saddle again.
And I think, I wouldn't even say it was a bad experience. I think it was one of the best experiences that I've had in my life. That obviously something can seem quite dark, and every time you hear the word cancer, but I actually, like, not that I'm like, let's go get cancer, but I actually, trying to think of the word, I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, but I didn't have a bad experience.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really positive outcome. A really positive outcome. You're also a proud queer guy. Can I just ask you, we often talk about representation of our community and the disability community in the fashion industry. Political question, do you reckon they're getting it better now, or do you reckon there's a bit of tokenism?
Ooh, don't know. Okay. I think that they're trying to get it better, but it's still going through as tokenistic. Yeah. I do see some campaigns, there's a brand that includes, just off the top of my head, I'm not going to say brand, but they include a lot of queer representation, right? But in that, they make it so known and so loud that it's almost like, personally for me, I'm like, I'm not about that. Like, if we're going to look at representation and having authentic representation, let's just include those people in there. We don't need to make it loud. The second you try and make it so loud is the second that you
lose it. You lose
what you're trying to do. I did like a pride campaign with Calvin Klein at the start of the year, and even though it was pride, it wasn't in your face pride, like respectfully. It was just very well done. And, you know, I think even in that, I could have been, I think, the first model who had a disability, like a visual disability, in a Calvin Klein campaign. Again, that is not amplified because that's how we do authentic representation.
That is such a good point. And like, I, without being tokenistic, you sum up the term intersectionality as a First Nations man, as a queer man, as a, somebody with a disability. It's kind of, there's a lot of boxes that you tick. Do you ever feel that because of your intersectionality, that is why you're being selected? Like, back to that tokenism sort of.
Look, I had conversations about this, and even when I first started modelling, you know, there were some people, not my friend group, but like some people, like, okay, it's just getting those jobs because of what it can tick. Mm-hmm. But also, if I wasn't there to tick it, who else is going to tick it?
Good point.
If we're not ticking that box and we're not having it, the representations aren't going to be there. So regardless, you're still going to tick that box. So I think if I'm not ticking it or someone else isn't ticking it, it's not going to be ticked.
Yep.
So.
Now, James, I want to take you back to the GQ Awards. You must have seen a whole bunch of stuff behind the scenes. Just give us a quick rundown of, you know, who were you sat with? Who did you see? Who was really nice? Who was maybe less so? Yeah, what's the goss?
Look, everyone was so, so, so lovely and so nice. I feel like, you know, GQ, not only like their award recipients, but the people that they had there to celebrate, it just... I don't know. I feel like that they've really picked the best people. I am someone that is, you wouldn't think it. And even my close friends are like, oh, shut up. But I am a very shy, nervous, anxious boy. So all day I'm like, I had shut down because I'm like, I cannot get up on that stage and I cannot deliver a speech. Like, I just can't do it. And like, even my team, like, I had a meeting with them that morning and I had someone from my team with me there on the night, and they're like, are you okay? And I was fine. I was just like, as soon as I get that speech out of the way, I'm done. But the speech was the hardest because right in my direct eye line, not only did I have the Veronicas, I also had Rosalind, Willow Smith and Troye Sivan.
Oh, wow.
Cheering for me and clapping at me and in my direct eye line, and Willow Smith and I kept making eye contact. The second we made eye contact, I'm like, oh my God, I need to look away. I can't look at her. And just to see her like nodding her head as I was talking and like clapping and and what was funny is earlier in the day, I had gotten into, so I was about to go just get hair and makeup done for the night, and I got into the elevator, and when I was going into hair and makeup, look, I was looking like a crumb. So
I'm sure that's not true.
I
you look
not
bloody
want
amazing.
To see anyone. So I get in the elevator, Robert Irwin, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Bobby,
like,
is he tall or is he short, James?
Do you know what? I actually cannot tell you. I feel like I feel like he's neither. I feel like he's just like nice height.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
Slap bang in the middle.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember.
Imagine being stuck in the lift with Robert Irwin.
Well, it was fine. I just looked like a crumb. But then he did come up to me afterwards and say he loved my speech and congratulated me, whatever. But I was also like, oh, I hope you know that was not me in the elevator.
That's my brother.
And just tell us, for people who don't get to go to these award ceremonies, is it a fancy affair? Do you have like a sit-down meal? Is there entertainment? Just give us a rundown of how does the evening pan out for people who might be interested?
All of the above. You basically arrive. This one was... This year, they hadn't done it at Bondi Pavilion before, so it was at Bondi Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
You basically go in, you do the carpet, then you go into, like, there was, like, an area with drinks and just, like, little nibblies been floating around. And I think once everyone had arrived and done the carpet, then they open up the doors to, I guess, the stage.
Huh.
And then, so, stage was beautiful, the seating was beautiful, So I think we started off with maybe the entree, and then after the entree, the host was Nazim. I can't remember his last name. He's a comedian.
Oh, Nazim Hussain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I just couldn't remember the last name. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was hosting. And then, yeah, we did like a portion. We did the first section of awards, and then we had names, and then we did another portion of the awards, and then we had dessert, and then Eddie Benjamin performed.
Okay.
What a great evening. Yeah. What a great evening.
Rewind. What was entree?
Oh, my God. I was so nervous. I can't remember. I actually can't tell you. Sorry.
And mains? Like, was it beef and chicken? Beef and chicken?
It was fancy. Oh. So I think the main was definitely it was fish.
Salmon, it would have been.
Yeah. It's going to be a fancy affair.
Wow.
James, we are so proud that a Melbourne person has actually walked away with the Model of the Year award. And who better than you with all the work you've done? The show said, I think you've had a stellar year. And this is such a great recognition of all the effort you've put in this year. So we just want to say from Joy here, congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. I think it's like something I sort of never had dreamed or thought about, or probably was in the back of my head and thought, oh yeah, I'll never get it, whatever, that's fine, I don't expect to. And then when I actually got it or knew, now I'm like, now it's actually surreal. So, but yeah,
and also, I just, James, you know, from observing your sort of career, you know, it comes through hard work, and you've done the hard yards. Uh-huh. This doesn't come out of nowhere. I think when you look at the last couple of years and all the effort you've put in, this is the appropriate award for all that hard work you've put into. So, you know, you're not an overnight success. You've done the hard yards, and this is your your award.
Yeah. Thank you.
Come in and see us next year.
We'll come into the studio. I've been in there before.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll have to come back.
That'd be great.
That's cool. We've been talking to James Parr, GQ Model of the Year 2023. James, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.